In today's episode, you're going to get the conclusion for how to build a real estate REIT plus an extra special bonus for you. Let's go!
Welcome to the Russell Westcott Podcast, helping real estate investors like you acquire the inspiration, knowledge, and skills that you need to start, grow, and scale the real estate investing portfolio of your dreams.
Hey gang, how's it going? Russell Westcott here. So hope you're having yourself a wonderful day. And if I check my notes, my little handy dandy spreadsheet here, this episode is going to come out right around Labor Day. So thank you very much for everybody who's out there who is mastering your craft. Whether you're an entrepreneur, entrepreneur, employee, laborer, whatever, thank you for being productive. So I'm recording this obviously right around the Labor Day time and, you know, having a great day. You know, it's been fantastic out here on the West Coast and just been extremely grateful for many things. And I'm going to share a couple things with you before we dive right into the episode. But first of all, I hope you had a chance to dive into part one of this interview with Dominic Mandato. You don't need to listen to part one, but it will definitely help in the conversation for you. So I highly encourage you to listen to part one before we dive into the second part here. But one of the things as I was reviewing it, I was listening to it on one of my walks and I was sitting there going, we did our best to get the audio nice and tight and, you know, enjoyable and very listenable. But I tell you, things have really, tooting my own horn here for a second, is really I've upped my game for the audio, is when you do go into the interview portion, you will notice that there is a difference in the audio. You know, 100%, it was a different set of microphones. We were using lavalier microphones, but the thing was the room that we were recording in was just so reverberant. And it was just, you know, if you think about it, if you actually listen to, say, for example, the opening to this, and then listen to the interview, you will see a noticeable difference in the audio quality. And, as I said, I'm tuning my own horn here, but we've just really up-leveled our game to bring a really pleasing audio experience here for you. And that's by design, right? Each episode, we try to do a little bit better. We change a few things. We tweak. We work, you know, Labor Day, we work towards bringing out a better piece of content for you. Okay, so make sure you go back, check out that first episode, and then also the conclusion to that conversation here as well. So a couple things I want to do is, number one is I'm going to put out an ask of you, of the listeners. I want to do a few, maybe even put a second episode out per week, but one of the things I want to get more engagement. I would like to get more feedback and a little bit more from what you're looking for. So I'm going to put this out as an ask, and if I get a good response to it, I will put it out formally within the podcast. But would you like a question and answer session where maybe you can ask your question? Maybe I'll put a link on the website where you can actually, you know, pick up your phone and record something, and I'll play your question right in on the podcast. That could be a solution. Or maybe you could just type it out and email it out. But I want to know if there's a utility, if you would like a question and answer episode here as well. Now, I could 100% go and compile a whole bunch of questions I see, but let's put it to you. So let's make this interactive and let's do a service and a value for you. So if you'd like to see a question and answer section on the podcast, by all means, reach out wherever you're listening to this. The easiest way is hello@russellwescott.com is the easiest way to reach out from there. Okay, so that's the first one. Next one here is I wanted to share a review. We just had some reviews, so I highly encourage you to share the show and review, as you know, always. So this review came in just recently. It was from Honeynut66. So Honeynut, thank you very much. And it was titled Coaching Call. I had the privilege of speaking to Russell on one of his free coaching calls, brackets, strongly recommended. He gave me tons of advice about creative financing and getting my first home and putting a two-year plan together. Russell is down to earth and can provide advice at any level in real estate. His podcast is up to date for Canadians. Also, very highly recommend the advice. So thank you very much, HoneyNut66. Please, I encourage you to leave a review. The more reviews, the more you share, the more we can spread this message out into the world, and we can have a, get the message. This is I believe this is a very important message that we need to share with more people. So the more you share, the more you review, the more even, just think about this. You're at a networking event and somebody's sitting there. So what are you listening to right now? Podcasts, or you're on a Facebook group and somebody asks a question. So what's everybody listening to for podcasts to educate us on real estate investing? I would be truly honored if you could just share my show, because it would definitely help. Okay, before I have an opening message here that I want to share, and an opening story before we get into the final step and the final interview with Dominic, is I want to let you know about, if you're interested, I publish at least a weekly newsletter. Newsletter might not be the best way to put it, but it's an email that I send out on a weekly basis that has additional content in there. So if you're interested in becoming part of that newsletter, by all means, send me a note, go on to hello@russellwescott.com, and I'll put you on the newsletter list. But one of the things that I just did this past one, which received quite a bit of positive response, was talking about being a rental housing provider. Now, I'm on a little bit of a mission of two things. Number one is I don't like the term landlord. I think we need to remove the word landlord from our dictionary. I want to start referring to us in the real estate business that provide rental housing. I want us to be known as rental housing providers. Landlords no more, rental housing providers is what I want us to be known for. And the next is tenant. I don't like that word that much. However, it is a very accurate description. Everybody understands tenant. I want us to start referring to our tenants as our clients. Now think about that for a second. A tenant has a completely different, and usually think about this. Whenever you say we have a tenant, it's usually followed by we have a tenant problem. We have a tenant challenge. But if you have clients, if you have customers, if you have a business relationship with a client, you have a mental shift. It's a mental shift. It's a different perspective of how you're dealing with clients than you are with a tenant. Okay, so in that newsletter that I recently sent out, I shared a video about, for many of you, if you're in this business, you have probably seen Pearl the Landlord, the little video of the little girl with, and also Will Ferrell was in it, where Pearl the Landlord was trying to collect the rent from Will Ferrell. And it was quite colorful. It was quite comical. It was quite, shocking and outrageous and all that kind of stuff. And I always chuckle when I really do. I laugh every time I see it. But now I was actually looking at it from a different perspective. I was looking at it and I go, geez, even in this comical thing here, they painted the rental housing provider in a very negative light compared to the client that was behind on the rent. So if you get a chance to watch that again, by all means do that, but look at it through a different lens. But what that got me thinking about was a couple things. And I pulled out of my archives is you know what? When it comes to our clients being as a rental housing provider, we often can get caught up in the challenges. We can get caught up in the struggles. We can get caught up in the problems that keep surfacing when dealing with our clients. You know what? I've been doing this for I think I'm coming on my 22nd anniversary upcoming this fall, and of doing this. And I've had multiple hundreds of clients as a rental housing provider. And you know what? I could tell you horror story after horror story. I could tell you, to be honest, if we got into a competition, which I never would want to do because it would just start going downhill very, very quickly, would be some of the horror stories I could tell you would absolutely, you would shake your head. And I still shake my head at it, but I'm not going to do that. Because here's the thing, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how crazy and turbulent this journey is as a rental housing provider, I choose to be grateful. I choose to be grateful for each of the clients I have. I choose to be grateful for having the opportunity and the privilege of being a rental housing provider. And you know what? Despite the media and despite certain political offices that are trying to make us out as the villains in this whole game, you know, providing safe, affordable rental housing is a very valuable service that each and every one of us should be proud to tell everybody. It is a noble, noble business. It is a noble profession that you should be proud to tell people about. Now, and here's just one final context within this before I wrap it up. And I do have another lesson I want to share before I bring Dominic on. Is, you know what? Sometimes when things get really, really tough and things are very troublesome, I have this definition that was given very early on in my career from Tim Johnson. Tim Johnson, for many of you veteran Rain members, you would know who Tim Johnson is. If you don't know Tim Johnson, I don't think he's in the game anymore. But he had this wonderful definition of, and now he called it a tenant, but I'm going to call it a client, okay? Had a wonderful definition of a client as a rental housing provider. And I have that, and I referred to it often. That just kind of puts things in perspective for me. So here's his definition of a client as a rental housing provider. Now, he's going to use the word tenant, so I'm going to make my best effort to try to do this interchangeable. And here's his definition. Your tenant is a partner in the business who will open up the shop and lock it up at night. They will look after the security and inform you of potential problems in the business. They will cut the grass, rake the leaves, shovel the snow, and pay all the utilities. They will even pay all your mortgage and taxes. Then, in the end, they will relinquish all monetary interest in the business and walk away, leaving you with all the profits. So I think that's a fantastic definition of our clients, of us as rental housing providers. Now, remember, that definition is from us, the rental housing providers. Okay. Now, I would imagine our client would probably see that a little bit differently, but at the same time, I strongly encourage people to, you know, by all means, please go buy a house. Please, as many people as possible, buy the house, right? But if you can't, for whatever reason, your circumstances don't dictate that you can buy a house, there's another incredible opportunity that these wonderful community of rental housing providers are providing you an opportunity to be able to rent a property as well. Okay, everybody. So hope that helps. Just a little bit of perspective there for you. And the last thing I want to share with you before I jump, bring Dominic back on, is something that I've been working on, is something I see. And I think it's, and the reason why I see it is because I see it in myself. I see this all the time within myself. And I also see it in others. And the reason why I see it in others is because it's very prevalent for myself. And when you have something within yourself, you see it when others are doing it, okay? And I call it the deflect, the diminish, the downplay, and the dismiss. Or maybe I'll do it better. It's the deflect, the dismiss, the downplay, and the diminish. Now, it could be a Canadian disease. Right? It could easily very well be that. But think about this for a second. Deflect, diminish, downplay, and dismiss. Now, here's the story when it comes out of it. And like I said, I 100% am guilty as charged with this every single time. But I had an example within this past week that two of this came out very, very clear to me. One was dealing with a very veteran real estate investor who had a very sizable portfolio. And anybody would probably, if talking about it, seeing it from the outside, I would say, wow, that person's extremely successful within the context of real estate of building out a portfolio. But then I was having the conversation, and I think the word was used either mogul or tycoon or something. And the person just, whoa, I ain't no tycoon. You know, instantly, the first thing they did was they deflected, right? And then they went on to diminish what they had done, and then they downplayed and they dismissed the compliment that was given to them. Okay. Now, I'm not here to tell you, as by all means, be, yeah, when somebody gives you that compliment or talks about it and they say, yeah, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. Where's the rose petals as I walk? I'm walking down here. Can't even walk in a room. My head is so full. I'm just so full of myself. And I know, you know, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about people that when you hear something or something is said about you, the first thing you do is you deflect it. The first thing you do is you diminish it, you dismiss it, and you downplay it. That's as bad as being somebody who is all ego and, you know, maybe being the 18-year-old real estate, the 18-year-old relationship coach out there, right? Or being that person that maybe has bought, you know, their first property or done their first transaction or first flip, and now they know everything. They're teaching everybody and they're pontificating about everything that they know about doing this. So that's completely different, okay? So that was an example I had with a veteran. Somebody had been doing it for close to 20 years. And the next is somebody who is fairly early in their journey, but I think they'd done a half a dozen deals already and some very big deals, like deals that I was just going, man, those are crazy deals that you've done as some of your first transactions that you've done. Well done for stepping into the deep end. And then when it came out of, they were walking me through of how they were, you know, doing this deal and, you know, there was some subdivision and there was building and there was, you know, adding where there was one property, there was now three properties on it. And I say, wow, that is incredible what you're just doing. That's like fantastic. Congratulations for stepping up. Would you like to be a guest on my podcast? I'd love to share that story. And then all of a sudden the first thing that came out of their mind, whoa, no, I can't do that. They obviously deflected, then they diminished, then they downplayed, and then they dismissed. Right? So gang, here's the message I'm going to share with you. Is be aware if you do that yourself, right? If you're telling and sharing a story and maybe you're sharing a recent transaction and then somebody says, holy macaroni, they give you some compliment or they give you some inspiring message or they give you some feedback on what you're doing and it's very positive. Do you deflect, diminish, dismiss, and downplay? Now, I'm not saying, so step one is awareness. Obviously, is the first step is the awareness to everything. So are you aware that you're doing it? And then the next is step back from it and observe it. Sometimes just the awareness and the observation is the first step. Now, I'm not telling you to go the exact opposite end of the spectrum and just being that egomaniac and I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. But just be aware, just that's the starting point, okay? So here's the thing. Here's some of the messages that I would share with you as well. Is number one is when somebody does offer you a compliment or offer you a high five or an at a go type of thing, right? You know, first and foremost, be grateful for it, right? Somebody is offering you a gift. Honor that gift that they are giving to you and make sure you lean into it, you acknowledge it, receive the gift, honor it. And then at the same time, step up and keep pushing, right? Don't diminish the gift that the person gave you, but into your internal psyche, you sit there and go, okay, awesome. I'm making some results. High five. That was incredible. Did the work, kicked butt. People are noticing. Awesome. Okay. What's the next step? What's the next step forward? How can I take this up even higher? How do I aim higher and have the next result even bigger? Okay. Don't let it go to your head, right? At the same time, don't downplay and dismiss it. It's one of the biggest mistakes that I made. Maybe I'll share an episode on this down the road a little bit was, when I started having some early results within real estate, and then I started getting on stages and I started teaching it and started sharing all of that, I did go the direction of going too far the other way, meaning I was full of myself. I thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I was standing on the soapbox and I was pontificating to everybody who would listen. And I was not leaning into learning and keeping hungry and learning more. The biggest mistake I made during that time is up until that time, I was reading, I was going to conferences, I was in courses, I would spend close to, geez, $20,000 a year in programs, in courses, and materials, and masterminds, and coaches. And when I started getting on stage, I thought I was the bomb. I knew everything. I'm teaching this stuff, by the way. Look at me, right? So I know that now that I reflect upon back, 20 years later, that was a huge mistake. I actually should have doubled down at that time, doubled down on more coaching, more mastermind, more conferences, more courses, and just double down on my hunger to learn, double down on my willingness to do whatever it takes. And one of the things, at that time that I would suggest that I did is I started tapping the brake. I was not only tapping the brakes, many times I was standing on the brake. And I'm recognizing that I'm doing that right now. I'm recognizing that I've got both feet just stomping on the brake right now. And it's tiring. I'm tired. I'm tired of playing small. I really am. I'm tired of standing on the brakes when I want to hit the gas pedal and put the pedal to the metal. So what am I trying to say here, gang, is expect more from me. I expect more. I don't want to deflect, dismiss, downplay, diminish. I don't want to do any of that anymore. I actually want to hit the pedal to the metal. I want to take this game up to the next level. So you're going to be experiencing more from me. I'm going to deliver more. I'm going to deliver more content. I'm going to deliver more opportunities. I'm going to start delivering more. Now, some of you might be just saying, no, that's big talk, Russ. Yes, it is. It all starts with the big talk. But I'm going to back it up with the work. And I don't know what the end result's going to be, but I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm not going to be afraid to do the work. And I'm going to get my feet off the brake and start putting it on the gas again. Now, I know this is a little bit of maybe therapy. I heard a joke the other day that men don't go to therapists, they just create podcasts and start sharing their troubles on podcasts. So maybe I'm doing a little bit of therapy, self-therapy for myself. But gang, the reason why sometimes you have to do this is you have to put it out to your audience, put it out to the people that listen, and hold me accountable to start stepping up my game. Now, I'm in, and I'm going to start stepping my game up. What are you going to do? Are you going to start aiming higher? Are you going to start stepping your game up? If you're in, let's go. Let's do it. Okay, gang. So enough of that at the beginning. Just want to offer a little bit of context for you before I introduce Dominic Mandato. This is the part two to the conversation that Dominic and I had a little while ago, about a year, year and a half, might even be 2 years ago. Where did all the time go? It's probably over 2 years ago when we were able to see each other in person at that time. And sure hope you enjoy this episode. And by all means, stick around right to the end. I have a little message for you at the end as well. Okay, gang, let's just get after it. Man, we could sit here and talk chat all day, couldn't we? I do want to just have one more segment here with you because... But here's one thing that's happening with a lot of these interviews is they're turning into, the onion has so many layers that it's turning into multiple different conversations. So I'm going to put the invitation out if you're ever in Vancouver. I have a studio at the home office. You're more than welcome to come by if you ever want to do some mini video shoots. Or whatever.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome to come by. Come by. We're back here with Dominic Mandato. It's funny, off camera, we were just... having the conversation, and Thomas going, man, if I actually knew this entire process at the beginning, sometimes you don't dive into the deep end until you're like three steps into the process already.
Yeah, right? And you know what? And sometimes ignorance is bliss. It's like any business that you get into. If you knew all of the pitfalls, you probably wouldn't get into it either, yes. Right?
So, but then you also don't get all the reward of the actions that you have taken.
True. Right? And also, sometimes it's kind of good not to know because, you'll get to learn over time. But the advantage here, of course, is that, there are other ways, there are other channels that you can utilize. it doesn't all have to be in this manner, but if you do, and you're still committed to going down that path.
Well, if you think about it, all you did was you focused on what you wanted. You didn't focus on the obstacles.
That's exactly right.
Right. There was lots of obstacles and lots of things to overcome, but it just, you know, this is where I was going, and you had aspirations to scale it bigger than just family and friends.
That's right.
Just because you got the five boys and everyone, and more important, and I just know who you are too. It's more than that, you're wanting to give back at the same time, more than that. So a couple lines of questioning, and then we're going to get into just wrapping this up is, so list building, I know you have built a list and you have a list and you have a database, and you can probably, if you wanted to go out on your next business venture or maybe a next buy, you probably could just go to your in-house database and just say, guys, here's, we're raising $2 million and who's in, right?
Yes.
And what would be some of your tips on building a list of investors? And I imagine you started with nobody at first and you got it to a certain point. What would you suggest?
Geez, you know what? It's not real complicated. I mean, you're having a barbecue at home and you know, you get to know someone really well, or you go to someone's house and you get to meet new people. If there's any indication at some point, you're going to have a conversation, okay, what is it that you do?
Yeah.
Right. And so those conversations tend to, and I at this point, I keep it so light, especially with friends. You get to a certain point where, you know, you want your friends to be your investors, but then there are times where you just don't want them to be investors just because you want to keep that relationship the way it is. Sometimes people get funny with business, right?
Yeah. So once money changes hands, it changes sometimes.
It does. And unfortunately, there's been some cases where I've seen the relationships maybe not go the way they wanted to. So I'll be very careful. And over time, you get better at that. But that said, if there's any indication that there's an investor who's really interested, you know, the process is pretty simple. If I get a sense that someone's interested, that is not the place for me to pitch the deal. I might tell them about a particular deal that I'm working on and keep it very light. And if there's someone who is interested in learning more about it, and say, you know what, maybe let's park this conversation and I'll give you a call. You know, give me your number and I'll give you a call on Monday. We'll set up a time for us.
Really just kind of I call that an investor discovery session or a qualification. You're essentially qualifying.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And if I can pay a compliment to you, Russell, I mean, you have that, questionnaire before even meeting with an investor, you have that questionnaire that you give out to your investors, right? And saying, you know, what are your expectations? Are you looking for distributions? What's your time horizon for investments and all that? And to me, that is gold, because ultimately, if you're trying to close on any sale, and this is sales, if you're trying to close, what better tool to have that information beforehand? Because now you can tailor the conversation around what the investors, you know, needs and wants are.
Yeah. Right. And you know, it's not what the money necessarily is, it's what the money means to them, more importantly. So, you know, if back to our original conversation, if you weren't investing in real estate and you had five boys and they're all going to school, I'd be positioning this as the boys' university fund.
Absolutely.
It's not an investment, it's not a piece of real estate. It's how am I providing a vehicle to you to help the boys go to school?
That's exactly right. And ultimately too, you know, you touched on a point. You know, one of the critical aspects right now when I'm looking for, or I'm talking to an investor, is I want to know if what they're investing is that their last $20,000 or $50,000, because I'd rather not talk to that investor, but maybe say, look, maybe not now's not the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe get to a position where you have a little bit more than that. This is not, because I guarantee you that investor is going to call you every single month asking you what's happening.
Yeah.
And ultimately what you want is you want an investor who's probably investing about 10% of his wealth. Right. So if he's got and let's be clear here, you're not asking how much money they have and how much, you know, what their personal net worth is. But if you ever had the conversation around, you know, we're going to need $100,000, and you know that that's the only money that they ever have, it's probably good to just walk away and just say, look, let's have another conversation some other time. Yeah. you want to make sure that that money is a very small percentage of their overall. If they own businesses and things like that, then there's a good chance that that is a small amount of their entire.
And also in the in the terminology, you know thy clients. It protects you one more layer. Like if you ever come back and securities ever comes a knock and they go, okay, these people that you've raised money from, how well do you know them? Well, let me pull up my questionnaire.
Right.
I know exactly here. I got all these 25 things. I've actually been to their house. I can tell you all these things. I've known them for, you know, for 5 years.
Right.
And maybe you had an exemption signed off and checked off with the box that they fit under. You're protected.
Right, you are, but you also got to be careful and also those types of questions that you're asking because from the security standpoint, they're saying if you're asking those questions, you're also providing suitability. So, for instance, I've met someone who's got several businesses and he's just told me he made, $3.5 million on his deal and he just closed. So I know he's got $3.5 million and if he's going to invest only $100,000, yes, just like you would say, I would mark that down so that if something ever came up and saying, well, he's an accredited investor and here's why. So that's one way to protect it. But if we're kind of getting off topic a little bit. So your question is, what's your checklist? That makes part of the checklist as well. If I know that their investments, I make sure that they know also the timelines.
Right.
And the timelines are critical because when it's people don't want to part with their money, but ultimately at the end of the day, I want to know if they're interested or not. And at the end of that conversation, if they fit everything in terms of, I'm looking, okay, what do you think? Do you have any more questions? And if you don't have any more questions, is this something that you would like to do?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, okay, do you have an idea of how much are you looking at investing? And then I'll go from there. In a lot of cases too, some of the best, the best marketing is referrals as well.
Right.
So at the end of that conversation, maybe not at the end of that conversation, but once they have invested and even when they've said yes, before even close, we'll ask the question saying, is there anyone else who's like Russell would be interested in something like this, who's also looking to build a college fund or buy a new car or whatever the case may be. Right. And so,
Investors are your best sales team and best referrals, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what would be some of the, you've touched on a few of the key skill sets on this whole thing, have some sales skills and things like that. What would be some of the best skill set that somebody can sit here? Let's say someone's brand new and they're just learning it and they're going to do their first joint venture. We've gone a little bit further in the deeper end, but that's good. What would be some skills that a person should pick up that would be help them in this journey?
Well, I've been blessed with the company I used to work for. They put me through a sales training program, so that really helped me. And I didn't know I could sell until I went through that. However, where you could start is start with yourself. Mm-hmm. Start with, if somebody was pitching you the deal, what would you want to know?
Right.
Right? What would be some of the questions you would want to have answered as well, because I still do that today, right? And then say, okay, well, I know Russell, he owns real estate. What is he going to want to know, right? And so, I know that he has some experience in real estate, so he's going to know a lot of the things that I already know. So I'm going to put myself in his position. What kind of questions is he going to ask? Right. And so from a sales standpoint, those are, you would start with that. I would then, make sure that the information that I'm providing to him is of any value to him.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than going with a mission only to find out that you're going in this direction. Really, he was, he was going the other way. Mm-hmm. So in terms of sales, there's lots of programs out there that can teach you some of the basics. There's lots of free stuff on the internet that you can learn on how to sell. But most important of everything is get as much information of that individual as you can, because that's going to help you tailor your conversation around it.
Right? And really the best salespeople are not people that actually sell something. It's actually just solve a problem and solve a need. And they genuinely, authentically care to help that other person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you know that you're talking to the husband, but the husband doesn't make a decision with the wife, then you shouldn't be having that conversation just with the husband. Make sure that the wife is there as well. Right. I love it when both husband and wife come, because they're looking at each other. There's a decision that's going to be made in a relatively short period of time. And so that's just one aspect of, who's the decision maker of who's investing.
Hey gang, we'll jump right back into the interview very shortly. Our friends from Streetwise Mortgages are back again with another financing tip. So if you're a self-employed professional and you're interested in getting financing, you're going to love this tip. Take it away, Dahlia.
Hi, I'm Dahlia, founder of Streetwise Mortgages, and in today's episode, I would like to share with you some of the common misconceptions about financing. Today, we will discuss mortgages for self-employed clients. Some self-employed clients believe that they cannot get a mortgage until they have completed 2 years in business and have paid themselves through the business for 2 years to qualify for a mortgage. This is not entirely true. Let me explain. If you are a self-employed client, you actually have several options when it comes to mortgage financing. Option number one is to qualify with the banks. This option gives you the best financing terms with respect to rates, amortization, and down payment. For that, the banks need to see that you have been in business for at least 2 years and that you have paid yourself enough from the business over the 2 years to qualify for the mortgage. In addition, they want to see that you do not have any taxes owing to Revenue Canada. Paying yourself from the business can be in many forms, including T4 income, dividends, or a combination of the two. And that is if you're incorporated. If you are a sole proprietor, they would look at net business income. Over the 2 years, if your most recent income is greater than the previous year, they would average the two. And if your most recent year is less than the previous year, they will take the lower of the two. So that's the option with the banks. Option number two is also with the banks. However, there are programs on the street that will supplement your personal income that you're paying yourself from the business with some of the business income. So say, for example, that you are incorporated and that you need $120,000 to qualify for the mortgage and that you've been paying yourself from the business consistently $100,000 in the form of dividends. Now, what they'll do is they're going to look into your business financials and they're going to take a percentage of the profit that the business has earned over the 2 years. So they can add that to your personal income to help you qualify. Again, this program is not available with all banks, but it is out there with some of the banks. The third option is to qualify with an alternative lender or what's called a B lender. B lenders are more flexible when it comes to income for self-employed clients compared to the banks, but they charge you a higher interest rate and they also charge something called a lender fee. Their interest rates generally are 1 to 1.5% higher than the bank rates, and their lender fee is around 1% of the loan amount. The beauty, however, about the B lenders is that they work with what's called stated income, meaning they do not need to see that you have filed your tax returns or that you're paying yourself income from the business on your T1 generals. Instead, they review your business bank account statements, and they will gauge how much money you earn by the revenue deposits in that account, as well as the business expenses. There will always be a trade-off when it comes to mortgages for self-employed clients. With the banks, you will get better terms, but you'll have to pay yourself enough from the business to qualify, and therefore, your personal tax bill will be higher. While with the B lenders, your mortgage rate will be higher, but you can qualify without paying yourself as much from the business. The key thing is to make an informed decision. You need to sit down with your mortgage broker and plan the optimal amount of income needed to qualify for the mortgages you want to qualify for and to discuss your goals and to work out what that income looks like and then to engage your accountant in the conversation to make a final decision around how much you need to pay yourself from the business to qualify. If you are currently self-employed with a B lender and you are looking for cheaper options when it comes to mortgage financing, or if you're looking to grow your portfolio and you're looking to understand your options as a self-employed client, or plan your income to qualify for the best terms, our team at Streetwise Mortgages would be happy to assist you. Contact us at info@streetwisemortgages.com. Cheers to your success.
Right,
so which is actually a great segue into what are some of the mistakes that you see people make that have altered? You've been around since, you know, the turn of the century. And what are some of the it might be even the mistakes you've made or mistakes you see other people make at the same time?
Yeah, there's a number of things that can go awry. You know what? Probably... I've had personal, and I've had also people work for me who made these mistakes. Ultimately, there's nothing worse than going into a meeting with someone and not asking questions,
right?
And just going straight into the deal. And there's nothing worse than that. And I've seen that happen. I've had to stop meetings because I've had my salespeople start right away before we've even asked the question, are you even interested in real estate?
Exactly.
Let's start with that. Yeah. Do you even invest in real estate? Yeah. Like, I mean, that's one of my most popular questions. One is, hey, have you ever invested in real estate before?
Yeah.
Because now you know the level of sophistication that person has. And as they said, yeah, I've owned like about 4 or 5 properties. And I go, okay, now you know the level of conversation this is going to be.
Yeah.
No, I've never invested in real estate. Well, let me talk to you a little bit about the power of leverage, for instance,
yeah,
and things like that. Now you take it to another level, right? So ask those questions, you know, get to know who they are, what they want. Yes, they've answered your questionnaire, but now you want to know him as a person, right?
Right.
There's nothing worse too than also figuring out what that person is personally, what yep. kind of character he yep. is, because he'll let you know if they want to invest with you long term, if this is going to be a short term thing, if their expectations are too high, maybe not high enough, whatever that case may be. So asking those questions front end. Also, starting off with not only the deal itself but the returns and over projecting
right.
returns. That's one of the things that I, you know, a lot of my days and a lot of my time is spent on that pro forma, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at, here's what we're going to buy it for. Here's where I think we're going to end up. But I can't even tell you what's going to happen in the next 6 months. I'm projecting on based on all the information that I have today. Here's where I think we're going to be, but we may not get there, right? And so not explaining the pitfalls, right? We talked about subscriptions earlier on. Well, on the subscriptions right now, if you look and you're writing exactly right beside where you sign, it says, I may lose all my money.
Yes.
And that conversation could stop right there,
yeah.
right? But if you've done a really good job of explaining, look, ultimately, nothing is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the government may say, you know what, we're not going to rely on oil and gas anymore, and we live in Alberta, and everything can go into the right.
Well, almost said those things should start off with the only thing guaranteed is death and taxes.
That's
and then
right.
Everything else,
that's right.
Everything's off the table.
That's exactly right. So maybe sometimes it's not explaining also the pitfalls.
Yeah.
I like to explain because I just
yes.
want to see what the reaction is
mm-hmm.
because ultimately, you know, it's real estate and nothing in life is guaranteed. And so if you go on the premise that we're going to make a lot of money and we're going to, you know, make sure that you can get your big boat and this, that, that's where the other yeah. pitfall of raising
yeah.
money is.
I've said it many, many times. You guys have heard it. Is the easiest part of all this is to get somebody excited.
Mm.
That is the easiest yeah. thing is to tell an amazing story, get somebody all hopped up in sugar. The hardest thing is to fulfill upon it.
That's right. It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And now you're having to explain that and
yeah.
all that. So that's where, that's another couple of points. There's lots more,
yeah.
but, you know, we don't have all day.
No, so, I hear you.
Unless,
well, which leads into the next line of questioning is, so you're in a different stage in life. You're like me. We've known each other since the beginning, right? Probably 15, 16
That's
years.
Right.
It's
right.
been far too long,
That's
way,
right.
since we last chatted. There's getting a little bit more gray in there.
Oh, this is just color. This is just color. I've colored it this way.
Yes.
I'm usually black.
But what did Thomas Beyer call it? He said it's a new hair color by L'Oreal called Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Right. And we've had a lot of wisdom in the last few years here
yeah,
in Alberta.
Absolutely.
With some things and there's been some, you know, that could be in another interview. It's yeah. just some of the challenging times. But I think, honestly, these challenging times have created incredible opportunities.
Absolutely.
Which leads into, so you've accomplished a lot. You're in a different phase, and the boys are now getting older, and they're now going off to university. There could be grandkids coming mm-hmm. down the road.
Okay, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
And you gotta start thinking about legacy planning and all that kind of stuff. So what's next for you? What's next on the horizon? What's the next mountain that you're climbing right now?
You know what? For me, it's still business as usual. We're mm-hmm. growing the company. I'm getting some joint venture partners as well, mm-hmm. right? So we're also building that side of it too.
So you're bringing investors into the business side and not maybe into a real estate asset?
That's right. Okay. Yeah. We're also looking at some other ventures that are closely related to what we're doing. Yeah. Maybe not exactly. So, you know, development is part of the equation as well. You know, what we're looking at doing too is we're looking to partner with some, you know, we've talked about exempt market dealers. We've talked about IROC. You know, there's another group called family offices, and family offices are offices that are a family's wealth that's being run by a, you know, a CA or a CFO, mm-hmm. And they invest the family's money.
Right.
Okay. And so there's a lot of those family offices that are out there, and they have a sizable amount of money. And of course they won't strike a check for less than $10 million.
Right.
And we're looking at targeting some of these family offices to joint venture with us with the REIT. So not necessarily invest into the REIT, but join us and work together. And so, because they like to own the real estate as well, but they need an operator, someone who's done this before, to give them all of the, you know, to meet all their needs in terms of managing the assets. Mm-hmm. So that's another level of our business that we're working towards. I mentioned the whole development side of it as well. And, you know, and we're just in the process of transitioning a lot of our existing multifamily into commercial, mm-hmm. and I'm really excited about that, particularly in industrial and some office.
Well, very good. Well, I do have one final question, and I'm just going to put it in your mind just as a second. It's kind of like a final inspiration you want to give to somebody if they're, you know, maybe if they're getting started, maybe they're feeling a little stuck. Mm-hmm. So that would be the last question. But before I ask that, I just wanted to acknowledge you when you took everything up to such a professional level. It was, you know, most people were just in it and it was a hobby and it was just a part-time thing and stuff. I just, every time I would look to what you were doing, it was just always professional. It was always business, and you always found a way to just elevate your game. And I wanted to just thank you for always setting such a high bar that it was, you know, for a guy like myself or for all people within the community, it was just something you were just, it's just the definition of a leader. And you did it with such class and such style, and you always did it with a smile on your face, and you were always willing to help people. And I just wanted to just acknowledge
thank you for that. That means a lot.
So that's what I've noticed over the years. Well, so if that's what you intentionally tried to do.
What a great actor I am.
Well, if that's what you intentionally tried to do, check mark. 100% across
thank
the board.
You. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So the final question is, you can pick one counter, maybe this one over
here.
Sure. What final words of inspiration or wisdom you want to leave to somebody who's maybe feeling a little stuck?
Being stuck is just part of the business. I've been stuck several times. I still get stuck.
Yeah.
And what I found is being stuck means that you don't stay in that moment in that position all the time. If you choose to, you have to choose to move forward. You have to find another way. If you can't raise any money, just go out and look at some buildings. You know, spend some time looking at the neighborhoods that you've been investing in. You know, we got stuck. You know, at some point where we couldn't raise any money, so we started to look inwards. We started to buy buildings. We started to, you know, how can we improve our operations? And you know what? We discovered a lot of things that we can improve as well, right? And those things open up other doors as well. There's always a, you know, I believe that, you know, God has a plan, and there's a plan for everyone. And so, you know, if it feels like you're pushing a rope, and I push the rope a lot. Pushing the rope uphill. If it feels like you're pushing the rope, it only means that your time is not yet to come. It's not the right time. And all it means is that you might be doing the right things. It's just the timing isn't. And so just give yourself a chance to believe that you're doing the right thing and try different things. Try new things, right? And it's, if this is not working, try something else. If that's not working, try again. Try and try again. I mean, some of the best and the most successful people in the world, what you don't hear about Thomas Edison, failed 1,000 times before the light bulb was created. Things like 1,000 times. I'd give up after 100.
Yes.
Right? 100 times. So if you truly believe that this is for you, it may not be exactly that you set out to be, but it'll end up in a position or something that very closely related to, and you'll still be happy with that result anyways. But never underestimate your ability to succeed. Never underestimate the people who can help you, and make sure you thank the people who helped you. So for that, thank you.
What a wonderful place to finish off.
Is that good?
Dominic, all right. You always over-deliver.
Thank you.
Guys, want to thank you. The next interview is upcoming. You're Dominic Mandato. Wow, I'm just tickled pink. Thanks for all your time.
Thank you.
Thanks guys.
So, what did you think of today's episode? Wasn't that a wonderful two-part conversation with my good friend, Dominic Mandato? So, what did you take away from this? What did you take away as some action items? Is this something that has been very inspiring and aspirational for you? Remember way back in part one of this episode, I told the story and shared the analogy of I want to have something relatable and aspirational at the same time. So, did we hit the mark on this? Did you get a tremendous amount of value? I had a tremendous amount of value revisiting this again. This is a wonderful conversation. Dominic is just such a wealth of information. Now, as well as just a quick recap to this episode, at the beginning, remember we talked a lot about the definition of our clients, you know, becoming, elevating our game. We're no longer landlords and we no longer have tenants. We are rental housing providers that have clients, okay? I want you to just start when you communicate on your forums and Facebook groups, you are now a rental housing provider that has clients. That is a completely different mindset shift. We're aiming higher within this business. Then I had a wonderful definition of our clients from Tim Johnson. So I hope you had a chance to maybe revisit that again. And then I told the story about, you know, deflecting, diminishing, dismissing, and downplaying. How did that resonate with you? As I was telling it, it really resonated with me. It got me fired up, right? You know, sometimes when you have some personal self-reflection of what you do yourself, you call yourself on it. I call myself on this. That's something I do. And I'm tired of playing a small game. It's time to aim higher. It's time to take my feet off the brakes and start putting the pedal to the metal. Okay, gang, hope you have yourself a wonderful day. We have a lot of wonderful podcasts that are upcoming. And stay tuned. There's going to be a lot of success stories and inspirational stories that are going to be coming out. And if any of you ever need any help, I'm here. And as of the recording of this podcast, consultations are still free. In the show notes below, if you're interested in having a conversation about what you're doing, a second pair of eyes, maybe you even just need help, just where to start. You know, why not tap me on the shoulder? I've got 22 plus years of experience in this game. I definitely can help you get you going in the right direction. If you're feeling stuck, don't know where to start, or you've built a massive portfolio and you're wondering what the next step is, and maybe you just need a second pair of eyes of somebody who's been down this road before you, hit me up. I'd be honored. As a matter of fact, I'd be disappointed if you didn't reach out. If you're sitting there stuck and there's resources available, I would be disappointed if you didn't step up and ask for help. I would. I truly would, because now that's what happens with myself. I'm sitting there and I'm stuck and I just don't know what to do. I get mad at myself and, you know, pardon the language, I get pissed off at myself that I haven't reached out. There's so many people available, willing to help. And if I'm stuck, it's a choice. It truly is. It's my choice if I'm stuck. Now, I don't want you to be stuck in this journey of real estate investing. Okay, gang? With all that being said, you know how we end this. In every interaction you have with another person, always, always, always leave them feeling inspired, encouraged, and always come from a place of love. Bye for now, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Russell Westcott Podcast. Before you run off, could you do us one final favor? Wherever you're listening to this episode, we encourage you to leave a review, share with your friends, and subscribe so you can receive the latest episode to keep you feeling inspired and encouraged for the entire week. Visit www.russellwestcott.com for more information, support resources, and upcoming speaking engagements near you. Bye for now.